up, guys? Wait a minute. You guys aren't the real Avengers. I can tell Hulk gives it away. Oh, that was awesome.
God, this feels so strange.
These weapons are crazy dangerous.
Someone is collecting stuff from Avengers battles and building these crazy weapons.
Can't you just be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man?
Let go of me! Let go of me!
Activating parachute.
How'd you find me? You put a tracker in my suit or something?
I put everything in your suit, including this heater.
Welcome to another movie podcast, a show that strip teases you with bonus episodes 5 months after the release date. I am Oscar, and with me today is
Ralph.
We're just doing this is, like I said, bonus episode for the month of what month are we in? July.
Yeah,
for the month of July. My bad. I totally forgot where we are in our world. So yeah, for the month of July, we're doing a bonus episode for Spider-Man Homecoming. We tend to choose the bigger movies or the more critically controversial sometimes movies that for our bonus episodes to rile up better attention or intrigue for people who may want to donate and get that episode in advance of that month that we're doing it. In this case, it's July. And if not, 5 months down the road, this episode will release to the wide masses. Feedback can be sent to podmoviecast@gmail.com. And that is the extent of what we're talking about today as far as anything other than the review. So, without further ado, no popping circumstance, let's get into our review of Spider-Man Homecoming. Homecoming. It's a coming home. With the typical pressures of high school life, teenage superhero Peter Parker must also deal with neighborhood saving, a growing criminal menace, and his desire to join the Avengers. So, the latest Marvel Enterprise connected with Sony. Is there another company connected to it? No, just Sony, right? Sony owns them.
Well, Marvel connected with them for this one.
No, I said Marvel movie.
Oh, yeah.
Sony, but there's no other.
No, I can't think of anything else.
Okay. Written by Jonathan Goldstein, John Francis Daley, John Watts, Christopher Ford, Chris McKenna. Oh, my God. A bunch of people wrote this fucking movie. I did not know it was going to be that many people. Directed by John Watts. And it stars clearly, stars Tom Holland as the Peter Parker, Michael Keaton as Adrian Toome slash the Vulture. He plays the villain. Robert Downey Jr. is in this as Stark, of course. Marissa Tomei plays May, Aunt May. Jon Favreau is in it for more than usual.
Yeah, that's true.
As a Happy, what a strange name. Gwyneth Paltrow is in it a little bit. Zendaya, oh yeah, Zendaya, yeah, plays Michelle. Donald Glover's in it for a bit. A bunch of other people. Who plays Flash? I won't mention him. Tony Revolori, who is from the Grand Budapest Hotel, the kid.
That's right. He plays Flash, right?
Flash Gordon. Oh, not Flash Gordon. Flash Thompson. Flash Toms?
Yeah, you're right.
Thompson, some of that. Yeah.
Savior of the universe.
And then a bunch of other people. I mean, a lot of famous people in this movie, for sure. So, Raph, what did you think? I mean, this is supposed to be a crowd pleaser. Did it please your crowd?
It did. I had fun. My crowd was pleased, and so was I. I had fun
that's
watching
the review.
I had get the f out of here, guys. And that's our bonus episode for the
well
month.
Worth for the whole donating,
right?
Thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And no, it was I had fun watching it. It was a fun, what's it called? Yeah, it was a fun. I guess action. Come up,
have to guess. It is
movie,
action.
Right? I'm trying to think of the word. What's the origin story ish?
It's not. It's funny because
we got our Orange's story through the
two other times.
Two, yeah, exactly. And yeah. So, anyways, I liked it. I mean, I liked it. I liked it. It's a kid who wants to obviously grow and, you know, do more with his abilities, with his suit, with what's it called. And then you're trying, and you can see his perspective, but you can also see like where he's going down wrong. You know. At the same time, like...
He is 16 or 17, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then, like, he's just, like, he just wants to be a part of something big and that he was already once part of. Yeah, and why can't he be a part of that everywhere, you know?
Right.
And it's, like, and it's funny. It's interestingly done. I liked it. I had fun overall with it.
What did,
I mean, I think still my favorite scene for our character growing up in this movie is the Washington, D.C. scene.
Yeah, everyone seems to be pointing that one out.
I think it's a big growing up scene for him.
I'm in agreement. Sure. I agree with the mass majority of critics and people who have talked positively on the movie. You know, it's all of these movies have this. I mean, there's a lot of great things going for this movie, and some of the other stuff are just the same formulaic, you know, superhero expressions that we've seen by this time, phase four of movies, or where are we in phase three? I forget what phase we're in. Three, right?
Yeah, sure.
Doesn't matter. The point is a shit ton of movies, not to mention the non-Marvel superhero movies that are also very similar, if not worse. Although Wonder Woman, you know, pretty good. Although it has the same exact third eye problem as, you know, others do. Anyway, Spider-Man, I really liked it. Tom Holland might be my favorite. It's funny because they all have different qualities. Tom Holland has the teenager thing down. He has, like, he has the wonderment of it. He has the exhilaration of Peter Parker as that youth in high school. He has the brains for it. Like, I mean, saying, like, a more in a geeky kind of way, not in a genius kind of way.
Yes, yes, you know? I agree.
So yeah. He has all that over.
He, there's this weird
Andrew Garfield and
yeah, there's this weird also guy. Like sense of not wonderment, but
well, yeah.
So yes, it is, but it's like wanting more, right? From his childhood, right. From a person, and he's also like very immortal or immortal minded, where he thinks like, I've battled with the best of them, which he has, right?
Well, it's funny because he doesn't even need that. Most teenagers feel pretty immortal.
Right, but on top of this.
Right, on top
of this. Yeah. He looks like he's a grounded character, right? A grounded person in life, right? But at the same time, when it comes to this, he's like, no. Like, oh, no.
There is a plot point in the movie where his biggest issue is whether or not to show off that he knows Spider-Man as Peter Parker, or if he should keep that connection between Peter Parker and Spider-Man more secret, just to show off in front of cute girls. Like, that is an actual plot point in the movie. And as ridiculous as it may sound to you, guess what? When the cast is teenagers and the main guy is a teenager, that's the kind of shit that you should be getting, especially out of a superhero movie that combines a teenage aspect. And I think this movie did a good job of doing that kind of thing. And I like that little struggle. It felt very grounded, but more importantly, it felt funny. It was funny. There's a lot of levity in this movie that I haven't seen since maybe, you know what? This movie probably encompasses what Tony Stark does for the franchises, because he's always the funniest guy in the room.
Yeah, he has to be the wittiest, at least.
The wittiest, at least, right? He makes references left and right. He speaks really fast. I think that this movie is like a giant comic relief also for... Not comic relief. Comic relief is the right term. For the Marvel Universe, you know, because Captain America is, you know, he's a man out of time. He's very dramatic. It's different issues. All of these movies have different issues. Some of them feel similar, but I think this one's very different because he is literally starting off as a youngster who calls, who gets excited. He's in the Avengers and for that one moment in the airport, right? And there's a whole really funny scene where you see he was taking video of his time at the airport, which is at the Civil War movie. And that whole thing, that flashback was fucking hilarious. And it works so well because you know that Peter Parker in the comics, starting off that way, would be as giddy as the movie shows him. Anything we want to change, as in spoilers, of course, anything we want to change or we want to talk, not bad about, but say maybe criticize more on Tom Holland or his version of Peter Parker?
I like this version of it. He's not this 20-something or college-bound student, right? Or he's college bound, but he's not there yet, mm-hmm. right? He's still high school.
I'm so glad he's not in a regular high school. He's in a gifted high school.
Exactly. He's in a geeky high school, right? He has to try hard. High school.
And their bully is this Indian kid who's also a genius, or he's in the math fleets, whatever. Yeah. Like, he is the jock of that group because
he's the jock.
This
because
the best they got.
Also a little bit rich, right? I think.
Oh, I don't know about that, but maybe yeah.
Well, he led on to he was rich because he had like a nice fancy car.
Oh, did he? Oh, I guess you're right. I don't remember that part.
Yeah. Yes, but the bully in this is like
it's a kid that we could take at that if I was his age.
If he saw me
right
at my age, like when we were there,
because we went to a public high school.
Chicago. He would walk to the furthest opposite side of me.
Right.
You know, so, like, and then
he's a big jock fish in that pond. Only.
Exactly. I could step hard on him, and he'd be like, "Oh, you know, I'm so afraid."
Yeah, yeah.
Please don't do anything.
But it was so. I thought it was a nice twist. Though I'm glad they didn't put like a white big guy who plays football.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I have a friend who really was butthurt about that change, because apparently in the comics there's something about Venom being that person. I'm like, he could still be that.
Yeah,
and you don't have to do whatever the comics say.
Exactly.
Can we just not do that? Anyway, so you don't have any criticism. I think I have probably a few. First of all, this is actually not a criticism. This is an applause, plot worthy praise. There you go, a praise. Before I forget, Tom Holland. You know how these actors who play high schoolers, they tend to be a lot older. Tom Holland, thankfully, he's only 2 years older than he's portraying. He's 19.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Wow. Isn't that the best? He was getting closer to the ages that they're portraying.
Hold on. Hey, guys. So I need you to act in this movie. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Do you remember like 10 years ago when you went to high school?
No. This was like, even when you just graduated high school, right? Yeah. My high school sucked. Yeah, I need you to act like you were back in high school. Motherfucker. Just left that bitch.
Yeah, just left it. Go back to your Facebook statuses. Get a feel for that year. You know, something like that. Anyway, you know, it is hard to think of criticism because the movie is so much fun. I would say that some of the plot mechanics towards the third act, I'm talking about one individual scene where he has to, let's say, pick himself up again. I know that a lot of people love that, and it's also reminiscent of older comic books / older movies. And it's nice, and it's a mirroring, nice mirror effect and all that, and I get it, and I like it for those reasons too, but I wasn't in love with it because I think that it felt like some of the stuff that is supposed to make him into a man, make Peter Parker from a boy to a man, I felt some of it was a little contrived or a little forced upon by the plot and the action. Which is not a bad reason. I want action to have reason.
But you're talking about our actor, right?
Not Tom Holland.
Right, that's what we were talking about earlier, about Tom Holland.
Yeah, I know, we were. Okay. I know, but I'm talking about Peter Parker now.
Peter Parker?
Okay. Parker.
Parker. I have one big gripe with this movie. Mm-hmm. And my big gripe is actually just how technologically advanced this suit is, right? And
feels like a cheat?
It does feel like a cheat, and it also feels like a crutch for the movie for it to teach it lessons, you know?
That's another thing. Like, I really loved the comics, or even the 90s show, right?
Yeah.
The cartoon show?
Uh-huh.
He was inventing all those moves.
Right, exactly. You couldn't even, what's it called? Like, you had to use a word or what's it called? Training wheels mode, they called it, right?
Yeah,
like, right. And I was like, okay, guys, come on, like. We know he's obviously, like, we know he's a kid. We know he's in training. You don't have to say the suit was in training wheels mode and it activates up.
Well, and the good thing about that and the bad thing is that, you're right, the bad thing is that they had to say it. Well, they didn't have to, but they felt like they had to.
Yeah.
But the good thing is that they made it into a joke, though.
They did make it.
So it came out like a punchline. Right. So I'm like, okay, if you're saving yourself.
Right. No, I get it. They went the witty route. They went the, that's fine. And I'm glad they went that way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it does fall like come on, guys, like. We don't need that.
I know. Maybe it's a little like talking down to a lowest common denominator of audiences, right? They want to please more than just us, rough.
Sure. Well, I watch a lot of movies. So.
We watch a lot of shit-ton movies. I mean, whatever I watch 10 of 10.
Right, exactly. I watch a lot.
For the regular Joe. You watch 10 of them.
When I tell people what I watch, like, wow, you go to the movies a lot. Hell yeah. Funny. Like, you don't know the group of people I know.
Yeah, right.
That go to movies that I'm like, they look at me like, you like movies, right? Like
you'd be a Neanderthal.
Right, exactly. No, like, people look at me, you're like, I thought you liked movies. I was like, oh, yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm. I only see, like, close to 100 a year new ones.
Right.
And you're like, right, exactly. But you don't see, like, 250? Like, right.
Yeah, thanks, right. Guy. There's someone out there watches 400 a year.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. What kind of life is that?
Right.
Pretty great. No, that's probably a lot of awful movies, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What do you think of the action? Before we get into spoilers, let's talk about briefly the...
I thought we were in spoilers already.
No, we were not.
Oh, okay.
We didn't spoil anything yet, so...
No, we haven't. That's true.
No, I
didn't
put
really
a marker.
Close about it. Like...
I didn't say a marker yet that we're heading into spoilers.
Okay.
So what did you think of the action? You know, the similar stuff, the action, the love interest, the bad guy, things like that.
I like how the love interest was an older woman. was an older person for him because she was a senior and he was like a sophomore or something.
Oh, shit, freshman. Was that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's a
I guess in high school, that's a bigger deal.
That is a bigger deal. It's 2 years apart for us in the real world, right?
Yeah, to us, like, that's nothing.
We're like, oh, you're 2 years older. That's cool. Like,
that's fine.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in high school, it's a big deal because,
right.
You know, they're
you're
not going to see each other for 2 years at least, right?
You're right.
Or be in the same place. Anyways, I thought that was pretty cool. A little bit too convenient that it happens to be, you know, the spoiler thing about.
Yeah, the thing we're going to get
exactly,
to.
Exactly, we're okay. Getting to. A bit too convenient for me, right? But whatever.
Me too.
Yeah. Other than that, I can't think of anything. I mean, I liked a lot of the stuff.
Well, the romantic thing, it's funny because the whole time, and this is the unfortunate thing about rebooting this show, the series again,
yeah.
Is that we know it's going to be MJ. We know it's going to be MJ. And guess what? This bitch's name ain't MJ. So no one really bought it. I didn't. A lot of people that I knew saw it who are not into the movies very much or very much into comic books knew that going in.
Wow.
So, like, that's pretty obvious to a lot of people.
Right. Well, and Mary Jane is a really easy
and it's
name.
It's a hard threat to break when there's been, like, seven movies of this guy.
But already. Mary Jane is also a really easy name to, like, remember.
And also marijuana. Although they did change her name. Her name is Michelle. MJ, right?
Jennifer.
Michelle Jennifer, that's her name?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought it was. Yeah. So that's a slight difference. But anyway, yeah, so the fact that happened, you know that's going to end. I was worried that she was going to die, though.
I really love that line. Where he's like, where are you going, Peter? Going to the bathroom. You going to pass? And he's like, wait, what? I don't give a fuck. Go. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, I remember now. Yeah.
She's like, I don't care.
Let's talk about the villain here, Michael Keaton, who
okay, old guy. Why are you fighting a young guy?
Right.
Yeah.
He's basically
I actually liked how
it's harassment.
I liked how realistic his what's it called? Like
considering that Vulture is one of the silliest.
Yeah, it really is. They did a
cartoon
good job.
Anyway.
But really cartoonish. Silly.
Right.
Character or
right.
Villain in the cartoon. I actually like how like the real world scenario of how he got fucked over actually is portrayed in this movie. It is a very like I can totally see that happen. And like you could see the path that he went down and how he got there. You know?
Yeah, and also emphasizes how Tony Stark is the face of all superheroes because he's the one playing for a lot of the reasons. Like any fallback imagined or not imagined that happens because of what the Avengers have done or individually or together.
Sure.
They all blame Tony Stark because he's always the face and the loudest and has the money.
What the movie also gives you a sense of realization is that the world doesn't you have this, it's a weird thing that I actually came to watching this movie is that you see that there's smart people everywhere. And not all your superheroes or not all your super smart people are the scientists and everything like that. Like, people can tinker things with things, right? People can come up with, like...
So you bought the angle that this guy who's a scavenger... Not scavenger. There's a term for it.
I did buy it, yeah. I know what you're going
on. Not scavenger. But, you know, he's cleanup crew for the New York incident in the first Avengers movie. That's what he was. You buy that he, you know, tinkered to the point where he was able to make that suit and learn from it and... Get people into trust and make an arms.
I think our main thing came
arms
from that other guy, right?
His other one. Yeah, he looked like this brains more. I guess.
Right, exactly. But at the same time, he also just looked like I know how to mess with computers. I know how to be an engineer, or like you know, fix things. And he just used his knowledge, and just to tinker with things, and he figured things out on his own.
Yeah,
that seems reasonable.
I bought it too. I was just asking.
What I really liked about that for the fact that I feel like in a lot of superhero movies or just in general, your movies like it always has to portray that you have to be super nerdy to understand these things. You have to be super intelligent to understand these things, right?
Right, that's true.
That's a very big like trope. And doing this is like, hey,
but this is all alien tech,
right? Exactly.
Nobody knows it.
Exactly. Right. You can't say no one knows it. If no one's messed with it yet.
Right. Yeah.
So, and
that's a really good way of thinking. I didn't think of it exactly that way, but that's a really good way of thinking about it. Yeah. I like that. It does emphasize that really well. I think Michael Keaton is also probably the most a sympathetic villain of all these movies. So that's a big plus for it because the villains in Marvel movies have always been kind of shitty. All the Iron Man suck. All of them suck. Yeah. They're forgettable. No, I'm sorry. They're all awful.
No, that's true. I agree.
What's
well,
the,
one is... isn't
I
even
really
a,
like
is,
Zemo from the Captain America.
And the first one is not even a villain. It's a group. It's a terrorist group.
And not, then, and not then, even that. It was actually his boss.
It's actually his boss, or whatever. Exactly. Or his... his
Jeff Bridges.
Yes, yeah, Jeff Bridges.
Bald Jeff Bridges.
Exactly.
He had a shaved
right,
thing, right?
Bald Bridges.
Bald Bridges.
Bald Bridges.
Coming to you at Fox. I want to see that show. I'm trying to think of others, but like we like Zemo. We all like Loki because Loki's charismatic on top of being villainous.
Right.
Like so these are, you know, I think just those two. Now Michael Keaton, and I like to put him there because he's like the poor man's villain because he's the guy who came up out of nothing.
Well, I think
the
reason what we like about them is that they're not two dimensional.
Right, and we can sympathize. We can see someone who is struggling for money, trying to keep his family afloat and shit, and the people who depend on him.
Right, and actually, even through to Michael Keaton's or to the movie's defense. Yeah. For the character is that he's very level-headed. He's also very humble about, like, hey, like, we do not need to go further than this.
Right, because we're going to get caught and
right,
stuff
exactly.
like that. It's too risky.
Exactly. Yeah. He plays it very smart.
They plan one big heist to
exactly.
the bigger
You can tell why they're doing certain things.
Yeah.
Like, and where he can push himself and where he doesn't need to. He's like, I'm comfortable now. I'm under the radar. Nobody, we can stay like this.
It's funny because as fun as I had with Peter Parker and this version of Spider-Man, which is a lot of fun, I think that the villain stuff, I think I like talking about it more. I think it's the most interesting aspect of this movie.
It is, although it kind of unravels towards the end, you know.
They all do, though.
But of course, that's the trick to it, right? And that's funny. And then
give me the third act of any Marvel movie, and I'll show you the second act that had a better action sequence.
Except for your Guardians.
Anything.
Except for anything that has to do with, like, I hate to say, like, alien stuff like that, with, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, where they're just... super two-dimensional.
Right. Jesus.
Like, that's literally the one fault.
Even Wonder Woman, everyone's praising that movie. The best sequence was in the middle.
Yeah.
Best sequence was in the middle. That last sequence, I don't remember a single frame of it anymore.
I sadly do remember, and it's bad, but yeah.
I don't remember. I remember Professor Lupin in the air. That's it. Right? That's him.
Sure.
Oh, my God, I just spoiled that movie. Whatever. Nobody cares. It's been like a month and 2 months, whatever.
Yeah.
So I think we should get into spoilers because I want to talk about Tony Stark for sure.
Yep.
So let's get into spoilers for Spider-Man Homecoming, coming home now.
This film is an origin story in that we see how Spider-Man begins to become the icon and the legend that we all know as Spider-Man.
I just got to do this on my own.
What the hell is that? What the hell are you wearing?
It's my suit.
Where's the case?
What case?
Didn't you see the case?
What? A minor upgrade from Tony Stark.
This is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
This is the greatest day of my life.
There's Captain America. There's Iron Man.
Whoa, look at that new guy. Who's that?
Underoos.
That's my cue. I gotta go.
I was in a fight with Captain America and I stole his shield and I threw it at him. What the hell? He's big now. I gotta go.
It was the most amazing thing that's ever happened. So Mr. Stark was like, hey, Underoos. And I just sort of flipped in.
Hey, just a second. Coming.
Hey. We have thin walls here.
Tony Stark dies.
Stop saying that. It's not funny anymore. You say it for the last 70. Yeah, you're right. It's funny. What do you think of Tony Stark replacing Uncle Ben? Spiritually? Well, not for reals.
I mean, I don't know.
He comes out at the second movie. I am your uncle.
They do it. I think they do it like they try to justify it where he's like actually there for him also. Because that is the scene, right? He does it for him. Where he's actually shows up at the Iron Man, with the Iron Man suit. And he tells him, like...
Oh, the time he thought he was a drone. He just comes out.
Yeah.
After
that is
the fairy.
That is the time, right?
That was a fairy one, yeah.
Right, but that is the Uncle Ben moment, right? Where he kind of is replacing
Yeah, I think that's when he takes the suit away from him.
Sure,
and that's when he... Right? Am I wrong? Yeah.
Yes,
I'm trying to remember the scene. So does that happen? That happens after the Washington thing, right?
Yeah, that's after Washington.
The trip happened after.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, before.
Yeah.
Yes. With you. We're all together. So he takes the suit away from him. Because the great thing about this is that they're using Tony Stark's past three shittier movies, unfortunately, who started the franchise.
Well, we're using everything we've learned from Tony Stark, where
he had to learn.
Yeah, exactly.
He's trying to teach his kid.
But he's also trying to be like, hey, listen, I've been there, so I'm going to like give him space, but at the same time, I'm going to try to be there to guide him. But he's giving him too much space, right?
Right, and then he takes his toy away from him because he's like, someone should have taken my toy away from me
in
Iron Man 2.
Sure, right. But not only does he give him too much space, he neglects him where he doesn't even like help him with the thing that he should be helping him with. Right. Obviously, he's a busy man, you know, fighting things that he's inventing.
As much as we're seeing if Peter Parker can hack it as a superhero, we're seeing if Tony Stark can hack it as a mentor.
Right, and actually, I think they both fail at that moment, right?
Yeah.
Arguably, yeah, they do, because for the fact that Tony Stark's not there enough for him, right? I'm not saying you have to be there at every step, right? Because that's just too much, which he can't do. But at the same time, you know, our Peter Parker is obviously just not growing up as level-headed as he should.
And even though he's only 17, we shouldn't believe,
right, exactly,
be blaming him a lot. Well, one of the biggest the plot mechanics, I said it in the intro for this movie, is that Peter Parker, his desire is to be on the Avengers. Like, his desire is basically he put a back burner to whatever things he wanted to study or be a professional at or God forbid even enjoy. Like, it's like the version of going to be a member of the Night's Watch, you know. You kind of forego a lot of other desires you would have otherwise for a greater cause. But he doesn't really understand that cause. He just wants to do cool things with the best people or the cooler people out there.
Sure.
In the galaxy, I guess, not even the world.
Right.
So, like, I think that in service of that, I think a lesson that the movie should have driven home a bit more, that it did drive home by the end. It did, barely. Only because Peter Parker realized it in himself, and I get that, and I was able to buy it. But I think it should have driven it home a little more clearly that he shouldn't have been striving for being a member of the Avengers. As much as I want him personally on there, as much as I want to see him in Avengers 3 and 4 and 5, right? But I know he is too young, and it's too soon, too fast, you know?
Right.
So did you buy that his change there at the end, you know, right before the press conference that he was supposed to have and all that? And because that's when he changes his mind, and before that point, did you buy it?
No, he changes his mind earlier than that.
That's when he says it. Sorry, that's when he says it.
Yeah, I think it stays true to the character that we want to have, or at least that Marvel wants us to have. And specifically, that I think
that they're
selling it to us, though. They're trying to sell us this character where he's our neighborhood Spider-Man, right? And that's what they're trying to sell to us. Am I correct?
Yep.
He's our friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. That's exactly, I mean, they mentioned in the movie like 3 times. But at the same time, we want him to come to that realization for himself that he can go help them out, but he's not a part of them. He needs to focus on what he wants to focus on, which is staying home and taking care of the little guy, because he wants to stand up for the little guy, because he is that guy, right?
But the Defenders just came out. Season 1, boys.
Right.
Did you see that, by the way?
Defenders hasn't come out yet. It's about to come out.
Oh, when's it come out?
Next month. Or two.
Shit. I thought I'd been missing out already.
No, that one, I can't even finish Iron Fist.
I didn't even watch it. I heard it was awful. I don't give a shit.
I got to the part where I think it was just like, ugh, like drudging.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. I heard everyone kind of quit after 3 episodes.
No, I saw like 7.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, well. Anyways.
Let's talk more about Iron Fist, guys. No. What did you think of we talked about Tony Stark. I think we
could. Well, what do you think about his character? Like what I was just saying.
Well, I think
like, where he comes to the realization of like, oh, like, no, I don't want to be part of the Avengers, even though the whole movie is part of the Avengers.
Yeah, I think like I said, I barely pulled it off for me. I think that the movie probably should have focused a little more on it now. If I remember, I'm trying to remember back on the movie's details, and maybe there is a more to it that I'm forgetting, and I'm just, you know, being more critical to this movie than I should be, or maybe I'm being too, you know, nice to it. I don't remember how much of the groundwork was laid out for the revelation, not the revelation, but the understanding that Peter Parker should stay with Aunt May and finish school and get a job and help his neighborhood. Where is he from? The Bronx? Harlem?
I think so, yeah.
Not Harlem.
No, he's not Harlem.
yeah, I think they were.
Sure.
Anyway, whatever he's from. Yeah, you know, or Queens. He's from Queens. Never mind. Yeah. Like, I think that realization, I just think that it felt like at that moment, I was like, sure, fine. I got it. That's what I want you to do. It's fine. It's cool. But at the same time, I also thought that the writers needed it to be this way, and I didn't feel like enough groundwork was laid out for me to get that without feeling like they had to do it.
Yeah, no.
I guess I do see it.
I think it's
the right answer, but it just came off a little too out of left field or too contrived or whatever. You know, pick a word and that's the word. So that's my feeling on that. I think we said Tony Stark. Okay, what did you think of? So What do you think of the final action sequence relying on Vulture? Like his return to Vulture, his return to fight him after vowing that he wouldn't, and the whole stealth plane slash Coney Island debacle. How did you feel about that? You know, these movies have a tendency, like we said, we mentioned Wonder Woman, I could mention Doctor Strange, even though I really like Doctor Strange finale because there's no... I don't know. It's a bit of both. It does both the bad shit and the good shit too. And others, you know, like the Iron Man and Captain America, they'll have the third act is always the worst. Like the third act action sequence, I should say, the finale. For some reason, they never stick the landing the way they do with other sequences. It almost makes me think that the formula that they're constantly showing us every episode, every movie, three times a year. I think the formula just has this really inner problem. It's like having a blind spot in a car. You can't fix that. They'll always have a blind spot. And the blind spot for these movies will always be the third act. And like, I think where they have more wiggle room and more where you're to be creative and inventive with the action is always in the second act. So what did you think of that problem? And this movie had that problem too. I guess I'm asking if you had a similar dissatisfaction with the action at the end.
I actually like the action at the end of this one. Yeah. I think in comparison to what you're talking about, mm-hmm. with everything else feels just too grandiose. This did feel a little bit grandiose at the same time, but it also felt super contained. It wasn't like...
it wasn't world-ending, thank God.
That's right. Not only that, but it wasn't like... It wasn't even known until the aftermath. Like, once everything in the plane crashes and all that right? It's not known. Like, nothing, like, no, it's not known until then it happens. And he takes them down and everything. And he's long gone by the time they come to recover everything. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, so, for, it's something that just, like, he was having a personal fight with this villain, right? And he wasn't having it, it wasn't something that it was, like, and needed. It was going to happen, right? It needed to happen for him, mm-hmm. but it didn't need to happen for anybody else. And that's, I think, there's a difference between the other.
No, yeah, I agree with that. That's all cool. It's right. Very personable.
You're right. I know. That's why I think it differs in comparison to other...
I do think it's one of the best.
Yeah, one of the better, for sure. Yeah.
But still a lackluster thing for me.
Well, what do you want from it then?
I don't know what I want. I don't know. If I have an answer for this formula problem, they would have done it already. Not that I had to have the answer.
Right, and I honestly think it's a mixed bag of, like, it's what comic books do. Like,
I'm trying to think of other action movies that are not superhero that done better, and I think of, Mad Max did a better job. You know, well, that whole thing is one giant sequence, really.
Right, yeah.
I know it's not, but it is. I'm trying to think of, you know, Die Hard killed it. And the third act, it got better and more ramped up more. Like, that's the whole thing. The finale, it was a crescendo of its action building up counterpart thing, you know.
The whole movie's building up towards that too, right?
Right. Also, like, I think that these movies are not built on that formula, on that structure.
No,
on that Nakatomi Plaza.
I think they have the ending first, and then they do everything in the beginning.
Maybe, I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, it is interesting. I mean, I do agree with you.
Cool stuff with the stealth cameras and stuff. That was cool. I liked it. Yeah. But and his plan to steal the stuff makes perfect sense to me.
I honestly think the movie. I think the formula is going to stay, right?
Well, yeah.
But at the same time, what ends up being the formula working out for us is the motivations and what it does for the character and why it's happening and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That ends up becoming great. That's why we love what's it called, Winter Soldier a lot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's why we like this ending a lot in comparison to other endings.
Right. That's true.
I mean, it makes. For me, it's better. I honestly love Guardians of the Galaxy, but that ending's kind of weak. Like, I love that whole chain thing, right? Where they do the whole holding of it, and they last. That's cool, right?
Oh, you're talking about the first one.
Yeah, the first one, yeah. The second one's even worse, but... the first one, right? But, like, this villain thing...
Yeah, purple gemstone, right, power... Exactly. Horrible. Just power, power, horrible, power. Right. Magic.
Right, exactly.
Right. So. I agree. And but even the Winter Soldier one, as great as we love that movie and all that, the highway action sequence in that movie, which is right after the middle, is still the best one.
Right.
You know, when Black Widow's fighting for her life.
Sure, yeah.
That's right. The best.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you see a human aspect.
But you want to see that at the end.
Right, exactly. You know, yeah.
Anyway, so that's just a thing, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what they can do with the formula, but I agree with you to a certain extent. But
how'd you like him climbing the Washington State Monument thing?
I loved it because it was he's never, and that's great because the character's never done this, right? And obviously, for the Spider-Man character, right? And he's like, is getting pretty high. Like, even himself, like,
he has nowhere else to sling around.
Right, he has these abilities. Well, not only that, but he has these abilities, and he's just like, man, I just like, whew, like, this is rough. Like, there is, how do I get myself out of this? Right? He knows it's like, he's got to try hard, and he does this amazing, like, huge leap, right?
Through the help of Jarvis's wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
That's Paul Bettany's wife's voice, by the way.
Is it?
In real life.
That's fucking bonkers.
Of course they hired her. And so I'm saying, that's so when I say Jarvis's wife, it really is Jarvis's
wife.
Right,
no shit.
Yeah, so funny thing. Yeah. Also, perfect to pick a lady voice this time.
Yeah.
She was kind of, well, she was cool.
Yeah, she was.
What was her name again? I forgot her name.
I already forgot, but yeah.
Okay. Do you like all that mechanics? I mean, we complain about the suit being too much. It kind of robs of some of the creativity of
Spider-Man.
Well,
yeah, I mean, but that... That scene is well because it's done well because he ignores a lot of the suit's things, and the suit tells him like you need to do this much, and he's like, okay, and then that's when he comes up with his own thing. He doesn't rely on the suit. The suit only tells him what he already had in his head, and is like, I need momentum.
I mean,
how much of it do I need?
And that's the suit. Just it's like taking over the psychic in the chair, or versus his friend who wants to be the psychic in the chair.
I guess
it's almost like two. He has two psychics now.
Yeah, I guess.
Is that about to be?
Although I love this, his friend who's like...
Yeah, he's so perfectly geeky.
Right.
He drops a Death Star.
Well, I love
that.
What are you doing over here? Poor? Like,
yeah.
Poor? That's
perfect.
Yeah.
It was really funny. Comic relief on top of a movie that's already...
That's already witty.
Very witty and funny and bombastic.
You didn't think you'd need a comic relief person in a movie?
I didn't think I needed it, but he was funny.
Yeah, exactly. In a movie, right, exactly. It did work out. Yeah.
I liked him.
In a movie where it's already kind of like funny in self with things. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's something else. My favorite scene in the movie, and it has to be mentioned, and after this we'll get to the ending. Well, not the ending, but the last thoughts.
Because we haven't talked about the end.
No, but yeah. We did. No, actually, not the very end.
Oh, my God.
But anyway.
Continue.
The car ride scene with Michael Keaton.
That's a little hammy. That's a little
his
hammy.
His daughter and Parker.
Yeah.
It was hammy for you. Okay, so that's what I wanted to ask you.
It was something, I don't know. It felt hammy, tropey, whatever you want to call it, where like I got this punk, like, in my car, right? And he, like, completely threatens, like, I've seen that in, like, 300 movies. You know, like...
Wait, what 300
movies? No, like, the threatening. The person comes to the realization that this whatever, like, oh, now that I know you, who you are, or whatever, like I'm gonna come after your wife, I'm gonna come after your daughter, like, you know, or whatever, he goes to that aspect.
Yeah.
Like, and I get it. Like, that's, like, the biggest fear for Spider-Man, right? Or, in general, Spider-Man, the character, is, like, nobody should know who my Aunt May is, or anybody in my life, because if they do, I'm fucked.
I mean, Spider-Man's also, in the comic book world, not to mention the shows and the movies or whatever.
Sure.
He's known above all else, more than neighborhood Spider-Man, or being associated with spiders. He's more known for...
His anonymity.
His anonymity, yeah. Exactly. He loves the mask. He loves his identity.
Yeah.
He doesn't want anyone to know.
Well, it's not only that he loves it, is that he's kept it up for so long for the fact that... He has so many enemies.
He's just starting.
I think in comparison, like, they'll be like, dude, I have a universe after me. Bro, I have the whole New York after me. And they're like, oh shit, you're right. Like, I have so many enemies.
Yeah,
and they have crazy names.
Yeah,
let's get to it. Like, you know,
Sandman, Blizzard.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah, together, though, they make a nice band. Yeah. Nice flute band. Flute. Yes, right. That's one there. No, I dig it a lot. Okay, so I dug it because two reasons. One, there was enough time separated between the awesome car scene that I think is awesome and the scene before that where he finds out, you know, he brings the doorbell to pick up for the homecoming dance. Also a perfect title for the movie. For the homecoming dance, he picks up this girl. What's her name again? Freaky, whatever. And it reveals that it's Michael Keaton. At first, when he came to the door, I was like, he must have found out that it was Peter Parker the whole time and took over this house, killed everyone or something, and just surprised them. But no, he is the father. And you're right. My initial reaction was like, coincidence? Jesus, writers. That was me in my head. So I wasn't down for it the way I wasn't thinking as well like you were. But by the time the car scene happened, and the acting got ramped up. Actually, there was some actual good acting happening from one, the naive daughter, Peter Parker worrying about everything he's worried about, not to mention his fucking hormones going crazy, and Michael Keaton chewing up the scenery in such a, not, but more subtly than he's used to, and being the badass villain that he is with this conversation.
Yeah, he does a good job.
So I really, really dug that scene. And I can see that scene independently of the rest of the movie, probably, you know, as on YouTube or something. I would like to do that. So that's how much I like that scene. Now, one last thing, Ruff, is that Aunt May. The movie ends with Aunt May finding out he's Spider-Man. What do you think of that?
And
remember, she says, "What the fuck?" And then cuts right there.
Right. Yep. Aunt Hot May?
Aunt Hot May, yes. Yeah.
Marissa Tomei. Anyways.
It
was actually interesting because I don't think we've ever been alluded that
Spider-Man, never happened before.
Or I think in one of the universes, I'm pretty sure it has, because there's like 3,000.
In the previous universes, he's always been much older and much more hearing impaired.
Yeah, not only that, but at the same time, she's always like, "Oh, like I leave him to the space that he needs, you know, whatever." And obviously, this is more like
she's off to play bingo all the time.
Right, sure, that too. But no, I think this one's a lot more of a mother, like, "I'm gonna in your business" figure.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. I thought it was a cool twist. I wonder how they're gonna explain that one. Maybe the MIB Flash thing.
Can you imagine like Tony Stark coming to the house like his head down like a puppy being yelled at by Aunt May, like, "What did you get him into?"
Right, exactly.
You know, stuff like that. I can see that.
Yeah, or Happy trying to deal with that.
Oh. Tony sends Happy in there.
Happy trying to deal with that
is quit right after.
Right, exactly. If not quit, he's definitely like not answering his phone.
What you Happy in this movie? It was so sad. Why is he so sad?
I don't know.
No, I think
he's not the right to the movie.
I think it was too much. Like it felt like that was the reason.
Yeah,
that's how consistently unhappy Happy was. You know.
Sure.
Anything else in this movie?
No, I mean, I can't think of anything.
I think we gave it our shot.
Yep.
That is Spider-Man Homecoming. We are fans. We're going to see it again probably. It's really easy to watch. Probably be on Netflix, honestly. They had the last two or three Marvel movies out there.
Yeah, give it, and for another 2 years, and then Disney's coming out with their
own
service.
In 2 years, that's when they'll release it, is that what you're
saying? No, in 2 years, like, Disney will have their own service.
Oh, shit.
Disney / Marvel, where they, like, streaming
and / Lucasfilm.
Exactly, where they'll have streaming services. Like, you want to watch our products?
You want to watch Mulan?
Right down over here.
Want to watch Mulan?
Yeah, pay $10 a month or whatever HBO charges.
Right. 15, I think.
There you go, $15 a month.
I hope not.
Oh, I mean, they're going to charge $15 a month. They're going to look at what HBO does and Netflix, and they'll compare something around there, right?
Yeah, maybe.
I just got to feel, because HBO is also very, like, if you want to call, they're limited. They have a lot of great stuff, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But in comparison to what, like, Netflix and everybody else has, Hulu and Netflix have gigantic amount of libraries, right? And HBO is like, we have our own things. We do have some exclusive movies, right?
HBO is all about exclusivity, what they make,
guess what Disney and Pixar and all those are their exclusive.
Oh yeah, Pixar. Just for Pixar alone,
$15 a month is not bad.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe not.
I mean, it's a share thing for sure.
Yeah, I think maybe I'll share it.
Right, exactly.
Okay, that's last minute. You can forget that, audience. We're gonna say goodbye now. Thanks for listening for the bonus episode. See you later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. What the hell was that?